Hi, Katie.
Hello.
Hello. I'm Katie the cat. Meow.
I'm Caroline.
And I am Jen. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Our podcast is dedicated to sharing our experiences as interpreters. By telling our stories, we hope to shed light on challenges we face and connect with fellow interpreters who can relate. So you're not alone on this journey. Let's navigate this path together. Today, we have two special guests with us. We have Esther and Rita, both Mandarin interpreters. Now, Esther is a video remote interpreter, or VRI, while Rita is an over-the-phone interpreter, or we call it OPI. Now, they'll be sharing their insights, experiences, and challenges in the world of interpretation. Hi, Esther and Rita. Welcome to our show.
Hello.
Yes. So we have questions that we receive from the show. We have listeners who are very interested to know the world or understanding, you know, the job. So we have, you know, shortlisted a list of questions, and hopefully that you can share them with us. So the first one being, what inspired you to become an interpreter? Esther?
Yes. For the word inspired, not so much of the inspiration there. However, for me, it was mostly because of the pandemic. Right. You know, yes. So I was just thinking that, you know, okay, since, you know, there's this job that they're hiring, saying that, you know, if you're fluent in English and Mandarin, please join us. And I thought, oh, okay. So my English wasn't too bad. And my Mandarin, it is passable. So I thought, okay, let's give it a shot, right? You know, let's test and see how great my language skills were. So that's why I joined.
Nice. Great. Okay. What about Rita?
Well, as for, again, inspired, I was thinking about that because I did my undergraduate and both master in translation and interpreting. And also I had the experiences working in the art field and also the vehicle related field, like EV, new energy vehicle, and
wow.
so on.
Wow. Nice. Cool.
And then I was thinking, maybe why not try to do some other careers, trying to learn something new. And then I saw the hiring advertisement saying that we need an interpreter who could work from home, like helping clients remotely via phone or video. And also I was like, why not? This is a good chance. And they listed especially the medical field, like helping patients with their appointments and so on. So I wanted to join and see what are the differences and what could I learn more as an interpreter myself to different fields and to gain extra knowledge. I mean, not bad. Why not? So that's why I joined this field, being an interpreter right now.
Wow.
Right. That's so cool.
That is actually, so cool. I would say that is, now you, both of you are actually inspiring others, I believe. Because although for Esther is by chance because of the pandemic, but and then on the other hand, you have Rita, who is trying something because you have such a background in training. Now, this is something that is coming from two different angles. We all have our different stories, but I believe this itself is inspiring for other people who want to consider if they believe they have skills that can contribute to other people trying to communicate. I think this is a really good example they can consider the job.
Absolutely.
Right, yes. So my question is, before becoming an interpreter, what were your thoughts about this profession? Esther?
Okay, let me go first. Okay, so there was once I was watching, you know, this video where they were interpreting languages like English and to other like other languages, and I saw, wow, they're doing a simultaneous interpreting, and that was so cool, you know, because you know, one person will be like speaking and the other person will be also maybe slightly off their pace, but then they will be also interpreting like live. So yeah. I thought, oh, that's so cool. I was literally thinking that, are they actually reading from a script, you know? It seems like so not real. It's like not realistic. But then, you know, until you get into the job, then it's like, oh, okay, so, you know, there are tricks. And, you know, this, I mean, yeah, like, there are strategies. Okay, this is how they do it. Yeah, so, yeah, it was very cool to see them doing it. But yeah, it's for me, and maybe not so cool, but yeah, mm-hmm, almost there. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of surreal looking at, you know, like UN meetings. They just speak really fast and interpret really fast. How about you, Rita? What were your impression?
Well, before becoming an interpreter, I was thinking that, wow, it's like a shadow of a really important people.
Mm-hmm.
Like memorizing or delivering what she or he said. It's always suit and tie and neat, clean, sharp, like all groomed and everything. So I was thinking, wow, this is nice. I mean, why not? We have the language skill, and probably we could try and to, you know, be like that kind of person or shadow, at least to try to be like that. It's a different career. I think it's very professional. That was my first impression of an interpreter.
Cool.
That's the same thing too. I actually have the same thing. Yeah.
I have the same thing too.
Me too.
They look so cool with the, you know, the suit and everything, and they speak so fluently, instantly, right?
Right.
Yeah, very, very impressive for me too.
Mm-hmm. I think we should suit up with our language skills. And now that you're working as an interpreter, has your perspective on the job changed? If so, how? And maybe Esther, you go first.
Yes, always proud to be first. Okay. Yeah, right. So after being on this job, like being an interpreter, I think that, you know, so my role, it's actually very important. As in, you know, because we serve as a conduit, right? So we actually helping both parties to understand each other. You know, then the other would get the message across, and the other would, you know, they would get what the help they need, you know, to get what they need, you know, like understanding each other. I think it's very important, as in, like, you know, if it's a life and death situation, you need help. You know, like, you know, I need an ambulance, or, you know, I need police right now at this moment. So I think sometimes language barrier, it's a very sad thing, you know. And I mean, it's a great thing that we've got so many languages, but, you know, sometimes there's just this barrier, and we are there to help them, to let them understand, okay, you know, what needs to be done, and, you know, that help is going to be here.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Inspiring.
Yes. How about Rita?
Well, thank you. Besides what Esther shared, I wanted to add another point. Mm-hmm. Personally, I feel like after being in this job, working as an interpreter, I feel like I'm closer to real life. I mean, everybody has their own life, right? But I get to peek into others. It's just like, you know, reading a book or reading a movie, you never know what comes next. Even reading a book takes you like 2 to 3 days or a week to finish it, to know one story within the book. But maybe during one shift, you get to experience like 10, 20, 30 different lives, like different things that matters in their lives, and serving at in the middle, in between, which is a great honor. So I think I was given a chance to at least peek into different life, considering that I mean myself only have one life to live. So it's an honor and chance. I mean,
yeah,
I guess it's also inspiring for, you know, when we do our job, we get to have a glimpse or get involved in someone else's life. And these are all, you know, their private life, more meaningful. When we take that call for us to appreciate life more, I feel wonderful being alive, healthy. I'm seeing my friends, my family being healthy. Yes, I have lost friends to cancer, to illnesses. Even during the pandemic, I've lost several relatives because of the illness or because of the virus. I understand how they feel. That's why when I am expressing my pain through what the client wanted to say, I meant it. that I am very sorry. And in fact, before I disconnect the call, I will add in 自爱顺便, you know, my condolences. So you are right, Rita, that we face so many different calls. It's like reading a book or watching a movie, but this is life. Yeah, it's so much more different. Yeah, we get to have a glimpse, and I feel proud and privileged to be able to be witnessing that too. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be right back in a moment.
A few moments later.
Welcome back. I had a nice cup of silky coconut latte. How about you? Let's continue our show.
Okay, so what is the biggest challenge you face, not just as a Mandarin interpreter, but how do you overcome it? Like, do you have any personal strategies like reading or listening to music if you face with a really challenging call? Esther?
Oh, yes. So, example, like, let's say if we get a call which is very emotional, and I would say calls that are under hospice care, palliative care, they are usually emotionally draining. Yeah, so it drains your energies away, and you know, you kind of get low mood after that calls like that. So for me, usually I would actually need to pause or log out for a moment, and after the call I will have to like log out, you know, give her some give herself some time to like cool off. And for me, my way of cooling off is gonna be like music. Yeah, I would put on my headphones, like blast it to the loudest, and you just you just go. Yeah, and it's immaterial what kind of music you listen to. It's better if it's a band. Yeah, you know, like the drums and the bass, and you just live in your little world, man. You know, give no shit. You know, just live in your world. Yeah, that's me. But yeah,
cool.
Right. What about Rita?
Well, as for the biggest challenge that I face as a Mandarin interpreter was, or is still, or will be, being blamed. I think all of you may have experienced like that.
Yes.
That's crazy, like being blamed by LEP or client. I think that was very, even though considering that you did nothing wrong during the interpretation act process, and no one was or is and will be after your ask and asking, why did you do this? Why did you do that? And considering that maybe client will report you after the call, but it's just personally being blamed and knocked down and, you know, punished, or it's like over the phone, you can feel it immediately. Like, like blaming, you know, sound, size.
Yeah,
it's very clearly. So after that, I feel like not as serious as being depressed, because I have short-term memory. But it's more like a low mood, you know, very low in the blues and just wanted to like let it out. But I personally, I don't want to be too talkative, and I don't have a habit of sharing any of the details of life to anyone else. So usually I would just like get into social media or like WhatsApp or any other app, talk to my friend with any of the daily matters. Like that even helps. This small thing, like saying, hi, how are you? Haven't been talking to you for so long. Just to distract you from being in that kind of low moment or distractions. And gladly, I have a really short-term memory. So maybe after a few hours or one day, it's all just being forgotten. So that's a good thing for me. So I think it's that's another way. Yeah, we could do that.
That's good.
But other than speaking to your friend, I mean, do you speak to colleagues or teammates?
Definitely. Being in this group or in this role bring me a chance to know another big group of interpreters who are excellent in their jobs. And also, we somehow share similar personalities, like funny and... Exactly. I feel glad entering into this new world and knowing these kind of same group of people who I can talk to. I think that's really nice.
Yeah, because it's important that we talk to people who can relate or at least can understand, or being in the same job at least. Then they can definitely relate, because everything we say has to be remain confidential. So speaking to a friend, I'm not saying it's bad, it's definitely good. But there's only so much you can share, and they may or may not understand or relate to it because they're not in the job or on the job. So if you're speaking to people who share the same passion, or they share the same challenges, or even if it's the same teammates or group, then it's healthy to be able to share. Yeah. You don't have to say much. You just express what happened and everybody will know, because we all have the same challenges.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other way, like what Esther was saying, that listening to music. Now, I have the same thing too. I do that. I will listen to music, and not necessarily something uplifting like a happy song, a love song. In fact, it is kind of negative. You know, some of these songs are quite negative. Yeah. And some of my friends even say, oh, you sure you want to do that? Because you are already, you know, emotionally drained. You are kind of depressed or down. If you were to listen to depressing music or sad songs, wouldn't that actually make it worse? I would say no, because if you are trying to listen to different music or watch a funny movie, comedy, you know, you are trying to oppress the feeling, suppressing it, and you are just putting a lid on top. One day, that is going to explode. So instead of trying to hold it in, I listen to, you know, music that that is actually more on a sadder side, whether it's a heartbreak song, whether it is something about life and death. Yeah, something that I can relate to, and letting all the emotions or the negative emotions get out of my system. Yeah, so at least, as Chinese say, fasit. So after that happened, I feel much more relaxed, because unfortunately I don't have your ability to have shorter memory, and that is why I always have the calls back in my mind.
And it lingers,
counting you, like
exactly. So it's either I listen to music, or sometimes I will write about it. I will share it in my blog, but of course I do not share anything that is confidential. It's just how I feel during that situation, about how that call is affected me. So I think it's very important for us to have a supporting system. Whatever works for you, whatever works for you, whether you are speaking to someone, speaking to a group, or listening to music, or doing anything, dancing or whatever, anything that works for you, it's a very important support system.
Really definitely nice. Yes. And also for me, I will just go on Netflix, switch on a soapy K-drama, watch it, have a good cry, and my husband will be wondering why am I crying so overwhelmingly. And I mean, sometimes I do talk to my husband about calls. I mean, not the confidential part, but what was going through the call. And he knows me, and he'll go, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do? And I'm like, you know what? Shut up. Just listen. I just need somebody to let out, right? Yeah, eventually he got it. So he listens nowadays. Exactly.
Zip, good listener.
Throw away the... zip your mouth, throw away the keys. Right. So I think this question is for our listeners out there. They also think that they have this, they want to know, or probably you can share, what is the most challenging call you have so far. Esther?
Okay, yeah, so I remember this call when I was in OPI, like the phone interpreter. Yeah, so it was a 911 call, and 911 calls, they have dispatchers, right? So from this LEP, I heard this lady, she was really soft. So it's like, what is that? You know, like, oh, someone is downstairs. You know, sometimes someone's downstairs in my house. So then, you know, it came up to me that, oh, we have a burglar in his house. So the dispatcher was asking questions like, oh, do you know this person? Or, you know, what's he wearing? What is he wearing? You know, how tall is he? What color like clothes he's wearing? You know, and then the lady say, oh, 看不见, you know, because it's dark, right? It's night.
Right.
It's like, 看不见,不知道. Then, you know, during the call, I was like, should I whisper too? Because, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, if I'm going to like just go with my octave, you know, that person might hear or something. So I had to like decide. Okay, so I went with a softer tone. Yeah, but you know, right. Clear, because in those situations, you do not want repetitions. You have to try to avoid repetitions.
Yeah.
And because right. she was whispering, it was really hard to hear her. But, you know, we have to fight for time, right? Time's the essence there. So then eventually, with all the questions asking and the answering, say, I don't know, you know, it's too dark. Then suddenly I hear a guy voice from the background saying that, 人走了,不要来了。 I had to like interpret it, you know, interpret it, and then the dispatcher still had to ask, right? You know, so would you still need the police officers to come by? 不要了，我现在要睡觉了，你们别过来，别打扰我，就这样，挂电话，挂电话。 Then, after call, I was thinking to myself, right? You know, saying that, was it something that, you know, I could do? You know, was it something that I should have done better? But then, it dawned to me like, no, I think I have done my best, right? So it's just a call that, you know, that was that, you know, nothing else I could do. I was doing my best. So yeah, challenging. Yeah.
Challenging.
Yeah. Especially as long as we know we did our best, we follow the client's questions and instructions. That's the most we can do. We cannot just assume anything. Just like the dispatch, they cannot assume anything either. I mean, that's why I would tell people why we are not able to do things more flexible. This is the reason. Because we don't know. We don't know you. We don't know what's going on. We are just as blind because everything is over the phone. The dispatch is also over the phone. So they have to get as much information as possible to the police officers who might need to know what they are facing. Is it dangerous? Are they armed? You know, the condition. Because just because they are there to protect and serve doesn't mean that they have to throw their life away. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it might be a trick. It might be a call. It might be a prank call. Nobody knows.
Who knows? Yeah.
You know, but we don't. So we are doing just what we can. I mean, you're lucky that the dispatcher didn't say, oh, you're unable to see. Can you turn on the light? Can you check and see if you know the person or not? Maybe they know. Maybe they're giving you a surprise visit. So the dispatch didn't do anything like that, right? The dispatch did not ask silly questions to waste your time.
Yeah.
They were asking relevant questions. Can you see the person? Can you try? Is it dark enough? Yeah. They did not say, oh, you can't see? Can you on the light? Can you ask that person? Who are you? So I understand the frustration from the male who answered, don't bother, the person's now gone, asking all this question, you should just send help. So even if the dispatch sends help, you know, the police will still need time to arrive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they still need to ask these questions so that they know what to expect when they are in front of your house. Maybe they are dangerous, maybe they are your kids trying to break in, or so many possibilities. So
absolutely,
to all the callers, to all the callers asking for assistance, yes, I am sure the dispatch and the police understand your urgency, but sometimes you have to understand we have protocols to follow. We have to be safe as well. We have to make sure that everything goes accordingly. Otherwise, if something happens, who's going to be responsible, right? Mm-hmm. So we just have to do our job as best as we can. What about Rita?
Well, the topic share the most challenging call I've ever had. Actually, just last week, I had two difficult calls or
Right.
challenging calls. And one of them was about a physical therapist, a lady, went to a LEP's home, which was a couple. And the thing is, the lady kept speaking for her husband. But her husband was actually the one well having all those exercises or practices with therapy practice. Therapist. And then she not only interfere the interpretation all the time for him, but also, and then the therapist was trying to, you know, conduct a series of practices with him just to help improve his health or movement. Like, you should do this practice and that practice step by step. Then we will see, like, which level are you at right now, and so as to deliver you with next steps. So we decided what kind of practice you should start next. And then she said, no, he was not able to do this. He was not able to do that. I was with him, or I am with him every day. And beside him, I know he's capable. What's he's capable of. So absolutely, he's not able to do that. And whatever movements that the therapist provided, she refused for him directly. And then several times the conversation was just like, you know, being cut off by her even before I could finish all the interpretation. And that happens maybe 4 to 5 times during the whole call. I have to repeat with client, do you want me to continue with the interpretation, even though I was being cut by the lady all the time? And the client said, it's fine. And then the LEP lady gets angry, saying, why you're in a in such a hurry to ask him to do some like heavy movements or these movements like climbing stairs, like all the time. He cannot do that. And all those words coming back and forth, like all similar words. And then she, LEP lady, kicked the therapist out. Imagining that if we are the therapist and being kicked out directly during the whole process. And then client told me, give me a few moments. I just need to take a deep breath. And then I said, I offered, like, would you want the interpreter to be there for you? Anything else that the interpreter can do to help? Or, like, just being here? Anything else I could do for you? I'm so sorry for this.
Right.
And then she said, give me a few moments. And then you could hear the sound, like, breathe really heavily in and out. And then I said, because as an interpreter, I'm not sure if the lady is, like, over the session already, like, ready to leave. Or she needs to go back. I said, anything else I can help you with, ma'am? And then she said, give me a moment. Just tell me what she said for the last few sentences. And then I have to deliver, like, it's all the same contents, saying that he's not capable to do this, that. And last sentences, the LEP person said that she wants to change to another therapist. And the lady said, all right. And then in this moment, I feel, like, helpless. And the only thing I could do for her, the therapist, was just staying there for anything that she needs. So I feel like this is the most challenging. I can relate to her emotions, and I'm really sorry for that.
Oh, definitely. Truly. Because sometimes, you know, it is difficult for not only just the language side of things, and they have to depend on a third party like us to relay messages and to understand the frustration or what's being communicated. But I think sometimes we as interpreters have to take a step back and tell ourselves sometimes that we should not take things personal. I know a lot of interpreters feel like they are not being valued. That's why they are being disrespected, that people don't respect our profession, which is not true. You have made it clear today that a physical therapist is there to help maybe evaluate and then maybe see how to help the LEP person to improve or get stronger. But the wife is always interrupting, or someone else, you know, will be interrupting all the time instead of being patient. I don't know whether they are expecting a miracle to happen. That besides the point. But, you know, doctors even get yelled at in clinics or hospitals, and they are the ones who are supposed to be saving your life. So sometimes interpreters will say, I think, you know, they just don't respect interpreters, whether it is the client, whether it is the LEP person. But if you look back, if the physical therapist can be chased out of the house and get, you know, belittled like this, imagine how frustrated, you know, she is. She needed to take a breath outside.
Yeah.
Her frustration, she's trying to help and she gets frustrated. Exactly how we feel when we have a bad call. Same thing for the doctors. They get yelled at too, saying that, you're so useless. Other than medicine, you know, there's nothing else you can do. All you do is just give medicine, medicine, medicine. Is there anything, nothing else that you can do? What kind of doctor are you? So you have all these different people that have different calls we face, and we can tell it's not just us. Doctors get yelled at, nurses get yelled at, physical therapists get yelled at, police who are supposed to protect and serve, putting their life on the line. Fire brigade as well, they get yelled at too. So sometimes we just have to tell ourselves, remind ourselves, we do get bad calls. Clients are, you know, sometimes yelling at us. LAPs are challenging us whether we are speaking or interpreting correctly. Do not take it personal, because they face the same problems as we do.
Absolutely.
So just have to be more understanding. So for the patients, they have to understand that we all, as our profession needed, is to follow procedures and protocol. You may think that, just be more logical, just be more common sense, but we have to write reports on a progress report. And then we have to do evaluations. We have to make sure we've done everything correctly to make sure that the patient is improving. If they don't improve, what is the reason? Did we do it correctly? Did we do something wrong? Have we tried this? Have we tried that? So they have to understand. Everything needs to go through a process. You cannot jump and say, let's do this. Do it like this. If it doesn't work, then we try something else. You can't do that. So we just all have to take a back seat, you know, take a deep breath and say, let's not take this personal. We're just doing a job here, and we do it as best as we can. That's what I say.
I agree, yes. I just have something to add to that, just that, we need to detach ourselves, personal feelings from the situation, to the phone call, to the interpretation. But also, we extend our empathy to the LEP, and we also need to extend this empathy to our clients, too.
Clients,
like nurse, they work probably more than 8, 9, 10 hours per shift. They're always standing up, they are always walking around, helping the patient. They could be going, they may be having a bad day, we don't know. So that is also good to know. This empathy should be extended in both directions.
I agree. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Okay,
now let's do a comparison between Cantonese and Mandarin. Okay, are you excited? How would you interpret the following? Okay,
right.
The first one would be bowel movement.
Aussie.
Okay, give me insight. Give me all your insights.
Oh, Mandarin, we would say 排便. Usually, I will go with 排便. Yeah.
That's the higher register.
Because sometimes there's so many ways, right? There's so many ways to say it. Like, for example, Cantonese, we have the most creative way of saying pooping. I'll give you a few. So you are piping, which is the really formal one, the higher register one. Then you have more C, like Caroline was saying. That's the common one we say. And of course, we have the slang. We have monkey, monkey. Then we have Zha Dongging, the most popular one. You have so many. Bao sack. There's one more. So these are the
bombing the rocks.
Bombing the rocks. I mean, of course, people will say, bomb Tokyo, why? those who understand the Chinese
why
history
do you do that?
Why? But I'm saying, you know, that we have so many ways. I mean, they, you know, sometimes when they say bowel movement, And like what Caroline was saying, they would say, ah, 屙屎就屙屎啦.
怎么说大便呢?说大便。
Hey, yeah. So to them, why are you using that? But we have no choice. We have to follow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever the client say, we have to follow. But then we want to know, how creative are we? Like the Cantonese, I just shared Cantonese. What about Mandarin, other than 排便?
Yeah.
What other ways can you say it?
Can't wait to hear it.
大便.
Oh. Okay.
上大号.
Right.
Big number.
一号,二号,对不对?
Push it.
Squat.
Push it.
便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便便。便
Yeah,
or touch. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just one of these things that why we want to have this segment here, because, you know, Chinese, let's stick to this Chinese for a moment here. Mm-hmm. We have so many provinces.
Yeah.
They all speak different dialects, different accents. And because they're speaking Mandarin based on their dialect, it will be different. And just Chinese alone, you have the Taiwanese way of speaking Mandarin.
Yeah.
Then you have the Malaysian way of speaking. You have the Singaporean way of speaking. It is different because every society that you mix a language with, they will always have different languages mixed together. I mean, like the Malaysian Mandarin, you have different ways to express, and it does mix a little bit of English and Malay as well. Yeah, so sometimes it is a bit difficult for us to explain. Like people will ask, I thought you said you speak Mandarin. Why is it different? Yeah, because we have different provinces, we have different dialects, different accents trying to speak. That is why a lot of people don't understand. When they call us, they say, do you speak Mandarin? Do you speak this? Do you speak that? And when we start speaking that language, it is different. Then the LAP will ask, I don't really understand. I don't understand what he's saying. Oh, interpreter, are you speaking Mandarin? Why doesn't the, you know, or are you speaking Cantonese? Why can't they understand you? Yeah. I thought you were speaking. So they would start to question, is it your quality? Are you really an interpreter? Are you new? So they just need to understand this part that, just languages alone, you have different provinces, different countries speaking the same thing. It's just different. Even say Malaysian speaking in Mandarin, it depends on which state you're living and where you're coming from. Even the Mandarin is different. Yeah, even you have this whole thing all over the world. So coming up from just Chinese, you have Japanese, you have different accents or dialects of Japanese. I'm not sure whether a lot of people are aware. You have the Tokyo one, Osaka, then you have Hokkaido, then you have even Kyoto. They have different ones as well. India being so huge as well, they will have different dialects, the same problems. Mm-hmm. Even say Spanish, you have Mexican, then you have say Spain. And then I'm sure the ones in America, the Mexicans speak differently from the Spanish. Yeah, so they have different accents. So it is the same thing. So they have to just understand that part. Not that we don't speak, it's just a little different. Even for the African Americans, when they speak English, it is also different from how the Caucasian would speak English. And American English, you compare it with Australian English, you compare it with British English. It is all different. Even the Asian English is different too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that does it mean that we don't speak English? Of course we do, but we have our own version, as we say. Mm-hmm. Like the Americans, for example, very easy, very simple. Example, in the UK, you know, 车没上啊, okay, we call it car boot, but in the US they call it trunk.
Trunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? So in the US, for the front part where the engine is, they call hood. But in the UK, they call it bonnet.
It's totally different.
Yeah, bonnet. It's totally different, right? Even grey is spelled, differently. In the US, they call it physical therapy. In Australia, in Canada, and in the UK, they call it physiotherapy.
Physio.
Mm-hmm. So it's different. So is it different? Are you not speaking English? So it's not. So the same thing, they come with Mandarin and Cantonese. Mm-hmm. We even have to justify. Sometimes the LEP person, they get confused. Like they claim to be speaking Cantonese, but in fact, they're speaking Toy Chinese. I actually have to explain myself that they are speaking Toy Chinese. I'm speaking Cantonese, but the LEP person is trying to argue, no, I'm speaking Cantonese. So I have to get approval from the client and explain to the LEP person in future. If they needed a Toy Chinese interpreter, they can. But I am a Cantonese interpreter. They are somewhat similar, but it's still different. So I actually had to explain to the LEP person. I ask a very simple question. How do you say eat? Hat. So I said, no. In Cantonese, I say sick. So what about pain? Lei dim gong. How do you say pain? Tia. I say tong. That is Cantonese. Yours is Toy Chinese. So this very simple. And I told the client that, you see, I just asked two simple questions. How do you say pain? How do you say eat? It is already different already. And I am speaking Cantonese because I am the Cantonese interpreter. And he or she is actually speaking Toy Chinese. So they get mixed up. Yeah, they get mixed up. So that is why it's always very important for people to try to understand that you are coming from a different country or a different province or state with a different dialect or accent. So when you speak Mandarin, obviously it will be different, you know? So give it another example. Like colonoscopy, for example. We will say jiu dai cheng. Jiu dai cheng. Yeah, but of course, the upper register one would be dai cheng noi kui gan kim cha. Right? So, but they would like to say jiu dai cheng, which is true. It is direct, right? And then they, and some of them, they don't understand. They've never done it before. Jiu dai cheng hai go hao yap ah, ding hai you ye sat le go si fat go dou le. So they ask things like this.
From the bottom out, from the mouth.
Yeah, so we have to enter. Oh, is that from the mouth in or something from the bottom? this one goes something into your bottom. We will go to your rectum and see whether there's any polyps. And this, this. Oh, hai ya, hai. Gam ah, you le ge go go zhi cheng go dou yap ge. 直腸,你是說屎忽嗎? 肛門是嗎? They will say things like that. Yeah, so it's very important for them to also understand a little bit of terminology of their body, their anatomy. They have to understand how we say things. You know, like, they like to say 屎忽, but 屎忽 is not actually the anus. It's just the bum.
The bum.
The word, the, you know. So how do you say, how other ways that can you say colonoscopy in Mandarin?
Mandarin. I'm curious.
大腸鏡檢查.
Or 結腸鏡檢查.
Oh, 結腸.
Oh,
結腸鏡.
Oh,
okay. How do LEP put it?
Yeah. How would the LEP usually say it?
长颈，对，长颈，有一个叫长颈，长颈。哦，长颈，就是从下面，就是从下面的那一个，下面那个。从下面。I
can imagine the
I can imagine. 是不是那个塞西服弄那个上气？So
what the cat is trying to speak?
Mandarin，从屁股那里进去。
How about, yeah, exactly the word 屁股, what is the higher register in Mandarin?
臀部.
Same as Cantonese,
臀部, yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, what other ways can you say bum anyway in Mandarin?
后面. But in a certain context, you know, right.
Yeah, in the context, yeah.
Because we in Cantonese have 屎忽. I don't think Mandarin will have 屎忽, right?
Uh-huh.
屎佛, I don't think
what is it?
Yeah, because 屎, 屎 actually means
屎啊, last
stool.
Stool. The stool part.
You know, you fuck, or you fuck up,
No, I have to imagine right now. I start imagining.
Yeah, because there's so many ways. The Cantonese is a little different. Yeah. It's a direct language, and there's no, they don't refine it. It's a very direct language. Unlike Mandarin, you have refined it over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's nothing too funny about it. Like, pipi ah, pigu ah, you know. So these are like very refined. So this is why when we watch Hong Kong movies, those days the comedies, why that, you know, they're so funny because of the words they say.
Mandarin,
yeah. So the Mandarin, there's no law you, right?
No, I don't think so.
So that's why sometimes it's fun. Why I choose to be a candidate. Cantonese interpreter instead of a Mandarin one. So this is one of the reasons. It's a very direct language. Yeah. So
another funny one.
Pet. Yeah.
Fuku Gao. What? Xu Hai Bo.
Xu Hai Bo.
Fuku Gao.
Fuku Gao.
So it's literally Fuku Gao, right?
Yeah. Fuku Gao.
Oh, okay.
Is that the only one?
Same.
Yeah.
Pigu Feng.
Register.
Oh,
really? Oh,
like a leak.
Okay. Now we learn something.
Your butt.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
Fukuko. Okay. Usually I just say Fukuko. Yeah.
Yeah, because I get LAP asking, Binto Lake.
So we call it Bai Bei La. Bai Bei La.
Yeah, Bai Bei La. The space between your thai.
Between the thigh and your private area. The reader was saying it's the butt crack.
Butt crack is actually quite direct, but
vivid.
Crack.
Yeah.
Vivid.
Butt crack.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm also curious about the alphabet.
Oh,
how do you put alphabet in? How do LEP put alphabet?
What are the ones that are not?
That's F.
F.
F. Yeah,
F.
F. F.
I heard about one. J as in go. Go. Go.
Go. Put an R. You have to put an R afterwards so it's more vivid or likely to be what. How we pronounce it, like go.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So if someone were to spell, say, J-I-A-N-G, how would they spell it? How would they say it?
L-E-P?
G-I-N-G.
Yeah. It's the same.
Just
that difference.
Chicken,
yeah.
Right?
J-I-N-G.
Really?
Because I already know the person's name, so I was like, "不好意思, 是J吗? G.
G. For their name, they will always like to spell it out. I don't know if they do that in Mandarin. So it is really funny. Sometimes they say, for example, Z, X, Z. Y, Z. They will say,
Yijet.
So X, Y, Z, right? Yijet. So they will say,
So when you say Z, how do they do?
In Mandarin.
Mandarin.
Z.
They would not say Z. They will say something, but definitely not Z.
They will give you
a character. Yeah, for Cantonese, they say
Yijet.
They'll be like, 知道的知, you know, Z,
知道的知.
They would make equivalent to
okay.
Oh, right.
But if they were to spell it in English without an interpreter, I mean, how would they spell it?
Well,
no,
hard to tell. It's really
hard to memory too, Sunny.
Yeah,
because for us Cantonese is really funny. So you have M and N.
I am. Big M.
I am big M. And then small M, which is small N. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what they call it.
Yeah.
F, same like you. F is
F.
S L M.
S 交叉嗰个 X，
交叉
yeah, something like a cross.
Yeah, because some interpreters ask me what to do because but I did say to the interpreter they should have used their tool to inform the client because the client got a little confused. So the LEP person was spelling something and then came to Z, which is
Z.
So she repeated Z. And the LEP person argued back and said, no, not Z, Yi Zhe. And instead of clarifying with the client, the interpreter said, Z. And again, it repeated, the LEP said, no, not Z, Yi Zhe. So the client is getting confused and asking, and the interpreter was, no, just Z. So you see that's why I was telling the interpreter next time if this happens again, use your tool. Explain. Said in Chinese, "yz" actually means Z.
Z.
So she or he should have just explained to the client instead of Z. Because the interpreter was getting a little angry or agitated with the LEP person, but still have to use the tool and clarify. And say, this means Z.
Wait, one more letter. B, because it sounds very similar to B, B for boy. V. How do you identify?
V.
V. Wei.
Wei in Mandarin. Wei.
Wei.
W.
Oh. Yeah, W.
W, yeah.
Would you see like, 像 W的一半吗?
Oh,
I think that's a way to describe
half
it.
Half of W. Okay. Wow, that's very
that's
clever.
Yes, yes.
Very innovative of them.
But that being said, I have actually never come across any LEP saying V? W. I don't know how they pronounce W in Cantonese.
W.
W.
That's cute. W.
Yeah, but I haven't seen any that said W before.
W.
Very clear, you know.
W. Yeah.
The funniest alphabet is still Yi Jet.
That stands out, yeah.
Yeah, that stands out. It's really like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
that's really...
Why? How? How do you come up with Yi Jet? How?
Yeah,
I mean, if you say jet, I can understand jet, right? But jet.
Yeah.
So, are they trying to say two things like yi?
As in the number two. Makes sense. That makes sense. Like a two.
I'm just guessing. I'm not even sure. Is it because of yi? Jet. So jet is Z, right? Z is Z, right? So Yi is like trying to explain to you Yi and jet.
Yeah.
I mean, they argue.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know who actually started the whole thing to advise LEP.
You know?
I don't know who actually came up with this idea that, oh, if someone were to ask your name, spell out. Can you please confirm your first and last name? L I M.
Yeah.
Y A U N G. I have no idea who came up with this idea. To tell all the LEPs around, you know, the US, is somebody. And sometimes
the client will say, could you please spell out your name?
Yeah.
That is different if they want you to spell, but they are not asking you to spell. They say, can you please confirm your first and last name?
Yeah.
They did not say, can you please spell? Unless they try to tell you.
Perhaps previously, like maybe this patient has gotten some other like medical assistance that asked them to spell their name. Then they thought, okay. So next time they'll just spell their name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's very funny. I mean, it's like asking them to say their Mandarin name instead of reading out the name. They're asking for the stroke.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? It's the same thing, right?
They're trying to write it out to you.
Did you hear what the patient said? Yes. The patient was trying to spell the name. Oh.
一王一是 T.
Oh, that's a good way of saying T. Yeah, because D, yeah. T, B, V,
yeah,
they
yeah,
all
yeah,
sound that, alike. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when there's
one,
some audio problem.
Yeah.
That's a
not just audio is not just OPI. I mean, VRI, we have the same
VRI,
challenge.
VRI, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when they cannot hear, we are screaming through the microphone.
Yes, we do.
And I can actually sometimes hear the echo so bad. I can hear my voice actually breaking. Because there's a certain pitch that your speakers
can support.
And when you go above that frequency, it cracks.
Cracks, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm speaking too loud, they say, oh, interpreter, you're too loud. The speaker is breaking. When I lower down, say, interpreter, you're not
loud
enough.
They cannot hear you.
Yeah, can't hear you. So I did ask, so because I can't adjust my volume, it's already the loudest. Mm-hmm. So which tone do you want me to do? So I just remembered, I can actually type. Would you like me to type messages out?
Right.
Oh, you can do that? Yes. So when we ask the LAP, would you want me to type out the messages? And then we say, long on time.
我看不见啊。我看不见啊。哦，没有戴眼镜。啊，yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry. The patient has blurry
vision.
Cannot see.
I'm bright. Man. So if a therapy is deaf, blind, I don't know what we're gonna do there.
Yeah.
Let's
do our best.
Because they're blind. They can't hear because they're deaf.
Yeah.
So they have to hold their hand and write out. Can you guess what I'm writing? One of those challenges that we face that challenges a lot. Yeah, mm-hmm. They cannot hear, they cannot see, and they spell their name. And sometimes the way they pronounce the alphabets are just different. Mm-hmm. I find that their names are very different to pronounce. Like, what is Zhou? Zhao.
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 He.
H-A-O.
Do you know, there's one time I had heard, can you please dial out, and the patient's name is Ki He, and actually it's Ke He, K-E-H-E.
He, yes. It's
Ke He.
Yeah. Oh,
Ki He.
Yeah, right, because the last name,
He.
So it's Mr. He.
Yeah.
We have a
Mr.
name,
He.
Seriously, I was asking when I was an OPI. Is that this is Mr. He. You can say, okay, how do I say he in
he.
Or Cantonese? How? So
her.
When they actually spell out,
we have Yang.
Confused. Yeah,
Yang. Peng. Huang.
When do we have Huang in Chinese names? Wang is Wang.
Wang.
Dr. Wang.
Wang. Wang. Swang. Sito. Sito.
Sito.
Sito.
Sito.
Wow, Japanese names. Yeah, and then there's Zhu or Ji. Zhu, and then there's Zhao.
Zhao.
And Chao.
And Chao.
Z-H-O-U.
Oh, and also, Qi, Q-I. They pronounce
Qi. Qi. Qi.
Yeah. Oh. And sometimes they give, like, let's see, like you met Mang, what's her name, right? Mm-hmm. They would be, oh, no, kill, then you then you say it back to like, Lam Ah Chen. Okay. Which one is the last name? So can I address Miss Chen? Because Zhen is the last word there, right? So, this is interpreter speaking. So no. The first syllables that I just mentioned is the last name.
It's the last name.
The
it's
order.
The last name. Yeah, the order.
I will actually just explain. I said actually for us Chinese, our last name is the first name.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
we pronounce our name, the yeah. last name is the first name.
Yeah. Last name goes first.
Mm-hmm. Last name goes first.
Because we believe the family name comes first. So that's our last name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how I explain it. Mm-hmm. So I say if the LDP person, if the patient were to tell them their name in Cantonese, usually the first one is the last name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I say usually because some last names have two words.
Yeah. Sometimes they follow the husband.
Oh Yang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not Ouyang, only Ouyang, Ouyang, yeah. They some have Wang.
Zito. Depends. Okay. Those are rare, but the more common ones, Zhuge.
Zhuge.
Yeah. Zhuge. Yeah.
Zito.
Zhuge Xinxiang.
Ouyang. So it is. These are the common ones. Like Ouyang is a very common one that we always get. Zito is another one. So that's why I told the client that most of the time the first one is the last name. I say most of the time because sometimes the family name can have two.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's actually a combination of two families. They combine their first two names into one. That is why it became two. So that's interesting.
Guanfu
Xing.
Yeah.
Of course, it's interesting. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sharing.
My Chinese name is very challenging. My Chinese name is Q I X I A. How do you pronounce that?
Qixia.
Yeah, Qixia.
Yeah.
And for client, Qi.
Qixia.
Qixia.
That is why we have English name.
Yeah, we have English names.
Just for your convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't give you an English name, you cannot pronounce our names. Zhu, Zhao, you really,
I will get Qixia every time.
Yeah,
you get become
Qixia.
Qixia.
Qixia every time.
Yeah, Qixia means crazy.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
Okay,
that's very interesting. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Even when people speak the same language, there are still vast differences in pronunciation, intonation, slangs, and idioms. Mm-hmm. And depending on our region, culture, social background, so this linguistic diversity poses a unique, challenge for interpreters.
Definitely.
Yeah, we have to go beyond simply converting words from one language to another. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as interpreters, we often act as a cultural broker, and bridging not only the language gap but also the cultural gap between the two parties.
Mm.
And
not just the two parties, even between among Chinese, we have different cultures.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Even that, we need to bring
different parties.
Some of these customs or traditions that we are not practicing, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when we are unable to relate to that because they do things differently, like they have certain remedies that we don't know. Certain ways that you cannot have food after a certain period, then there are so many different customs that we have to broker too. We ourselves, as Chinese, we have to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why, coming back to the AI problem, can you imagine we as Chinese, we need time to digest what they're actually saying because culturally it's just different. Yeah, although we are all Chinese, but we come from so many different cultural backgrounds. mm-hmm. and traditions that we follow is just different. So how would AI know? Even we don't know. So how are they going to know? Who's going to be teaching AI? So it's not something that is going to be, you know, achievable in the next 2 years or so. Maybe 10, 20, maybe 30 years. So I think this job is just going to be here. It's not going to be able to just replace us. Just like what we were chatting earlier, you know, about smartphones or tablets. It did not replace, you know, paper. We're still using paper. Yeah. You know, cameras. People are still buying cameras. Watches. People are still wearing watches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the people now wearing watches are more convenient when they're using them. Yeah. It may not be the analog ones. So analog watches usually are for classy ones, expensive like Rolexes. So these are timepieces. The ones we're wearing now is beyond just a device to look at time. It also monitors our health and all that. So it evolves, but it does not replace entirely. Yeah. Yeah? So you cannot just eliminate. So same thing like our service, they cannot just say, oh, okay, we have AI now, goodbye, I don't need to hire you. So there are people who are not willing to use AI because for fear of confidential information being leaked, and also because of the nuances, of course, the intonations, the cultural understanding, and of course, most importantly, empathy. I don't want, even for us, even today, we go online, we go to a website that is all this AI chatbots. And we say, no, I want to speak to someone. I want to chat with an actual agent. I don't want to use a chatbot. Even we do that. Yeah, correct. With all this AI, we could have just easily implemented and say, it's convenient. Any question I ask, they can solve it immediately. I have no problem using AI. If we cannot convince ourselves to use chatbot for customer service, not for medical. I don't think so. As a tool, yes. For us to use it as a tool, yes. But not as a replacement, no.
Mm-hmm. Next episode, we'll have a new interpreter to join us to share their experience. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for the participation.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
We really enjoyed having both of you on the show.
We had a lot of fun together.
Yeah. So I hope our listeners are going to enjoy this episode because it's the first time we have gone beyond what we are doing. We invited a different language. And for that, you know, thank you. We have more insight even for us ourselves as interpreters because we are Cantonese and you are Mandarin. There are lots of things that we do not know either. And of course, the listeners out there, I hope they will understand that just because you say you speak a certain language, but it does not mean everyone speaks exactly the same. Just like English, you go to different countries, they speak different English too. So same thing for Mandarin or Cantonese. Yeah. So thank you for your insight and sharing your calls, your challenges, and what you think about our profession. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the both of you for being so patient with your, you know, your job and doing so well. Yeah, especially for Esther. She's been an interpreter for so many years already. And I hope the same thing for Rita. You know, she will see and continue using her skills and helping other people. But at the same time, share your challenges and express, you know, how we can support other interpreters who are, unlike us being a little lucky and fortunate, we have a supporting system. So a lot of them, they have just nowhere to go and they give up, which is sad. Who knows if they were supposed to be a really good interpreter, but because of lacking of support, they gave up. So no one should be alone, and that is why, you know, we encourage everyone to attend our show or get involved in the community building so that everyone can play a role to show that we care. We care for you as a person, as an interpreter, your well-being, and we understand your challenges.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Before we go, if you enjoyed our podcast, please give us a like or consider subscribing to our channel. We'd love to share our website and blog with you. int-offload.com. Offload, OFFLOAD. It's a space where we share our thoughts, experiences, and interests. If you have something to share, feel free to connect with us there. This is Katie.
This is Jen.
And this is Caroline.
Signing off. Until next time, happy interpreting.
Happy interpreting.
Lang.